beginning of Parshas Emor is a mitzvah to Kayanim, not to be metame lemeis. It's an isra on Kayanim to be metame lemeis. So the Daskeim Bali Atayis asks the following question. The pasuk says like this. The pasuk says that the Kayhanim should not be metame to a mace, but there are exceptions. Kiyam l'sha'irei ha'koroi ve'ilof, for his close relatives, le'imoi, le'aviv, his mother, his father, le'benoi, le'bitoi, his son and his daughter, le'achiv and his brother, le'achoi se'habesula and his unmarried sister, to them they can be metame. That's by the Kayan Hedit. And the Gemara. Then the pasuk interrupts with other Yisurim. And then later on, the Pasukim say, "Va'kayin hagadol me'echol asher yusak ha'roishay." The Kayan Gadol has different rules. The Kayan Gadol is not allowed to be metami to anyone. Le'aviv le'imay, not to his father, and not to his mother, and not to his relatives. So we see a difference between a Kayan Hedit and a Kayan Gadol, that a Kayan Hedit is not allowed to be metame to a mace, but he is allowed to be metame to his relatives. And a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metame to a mace, and even his relatives. He's even not allowed to be metame to his relatives. So Frech to Das Kainim. Why is it in the Seder? The Pasuk says by Kohen Hedit, it's Pasuk Beis, I'm sorry, Kof Aleph. It says le'imay ule'aviv. It says his mother and his father. And it says his mother before his father. Masha'en came by the Kayan Gadol. It says le'aviv ule'imay. It says his father before his mother. So how come by the Kayan Hedit, when it's saying that he could be metami to his relatives, it says he could be metami to his mother and then to his father? And but to the Kayan Gadol, where it says that he can't be metame to his relatives, says he can't be metame to his father, and he can't be metame to his mother. That's the question. Secondly, bechlau. Let's take a step back and think bechlau. What's the pshat? What's the oimek in this that Kayhanim can't be metame to a mace? And thirdly, we just mentioned the difference between a Kayan Hedit and a Kayan Gadol. That a Kayan Hedit could be metami to Kroivim, and a Kayan Gadol cannot be metami to Kroivim. What's the difference between them? In other words, after we understand what the Indian is, that a Kayan shouldn't be metami lemeis, what's the difference between a Kayan Hedit and a Kayan Gadol? That a Kayan Hedit is metami to his Kroivim, and a Kayan Gadol is not. And the fourth question, and we're going to be messiahing our questions with four questions, is that the pasuk says ki im l'she'erei ha'korov elov, to his flesh, she'er is his flesh, like the pasuk says she'er basar, to his flesh who's close to him. Why does the pasuk say this word l'she'erei? Why is that the hakadama? Could have said ki im l'korovei, to his relative. Now it's true that the chazal darshan on this ain she'erei ala ishtay, it's coming to be meramis to his wife, because it says v'hayu l'basar echad. So she'erei is meramis to his wife. Rashi says in Yevamos she'erei is u'ishtei, because it says vayhi l'basar echad, and she'er means basar. But still, it could have said ki im l'kroivai l'ishtei l'aviv l'imei. It could have said his wife. It didn't have to still. It's meramis to his wife, but it doesn't take away ena mikra yaitimi depshutai, that the mikra, that the pasuk is giving a hakadama to be metami to kroivim using the word l'she'erei.
Doesn't like the rest she'ani.
That's a different. Okay. Okay, we're going to chazer over some of you say this. I gave a shiur this Sunday on different aspects of this parasha, and I said this hakadama that I'm going to say now, and from the preparation of it again, it was mischadish a certain clarity, so I'm going to try to say clearly in other words, even those who heard this hakadama before should listen carefully for the for a new added clarity in this inyan. Hashem created Adam. he took Afar min Adama. He took Afar min Adama. He formed it. It says he mixed it with all the Yisaitis together. He formed the guf of an Adam, the body of an Adam. And he blew into that body a neshama. And now the Adam was a living person. And Chazal tell us that had Adam not done his chait, had Adam not done the aver of eating from the Eitz Hadas, he would have lived forever. Now there's a certain hispilus here that I hadn't expressed clearly before in previous chaburus that I want to bring out over here. The teva of everything gashmiistic is that it dies. That's the teva of everything gashmiistic. The less life it has in it, the slower it takes until it dies. But the rocks eventually wear out and become sand. Water evaporates. Plants die. Animals die. Everything in the world of teva, in the gashmiistic world, wears down. There's a difference between what's new and then it's not new anymore, and then it's old and then it's gone. There's never been a car that stayed new. The teva of gashmius is that it ages. And Chazal tell us when Hashem put a neshama into Adam, it affected Adam so tremendously, so profoundly, that he would have never died. What that means is, that's the hispilus that I want to bring out over here, that the neshama had such a powerful effect on his guf. Breathing a neshama into his guf had such a powerful effect on his guf that it gave it a certain teva of being able to exist forever. That's not the teva of gashmias. That's not the teva of Olam Hazeh. And it gave it a certain teva of being able to live forever. That's an amazing effect that the neshama had on the Adam. That the shidduch between the guf and the neshama was so powerful that it gave the guf of a person, the kayach, to do something fakert from its metzias. Everything physical dies. That's a big chiddush. So now we understand that if after Adam Rishon did the chayt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser on Adam. That from now on, Adam, ki afar atav yel afar tashuv, that Adam's going to be a bar misa. That it's not just an einish that for the rest, that at the end of Adam's life he will die. It changes the whole metzias of what Adam is. Previously, Adam was someone who so absorbed his neshama, whose neshama so filled him, was so much a part of him, that it changed his guf into a nitzchiyistik abriya, into a briya that could live forever. Now his neshama is not so much a part of him anymore. Now that neshama does not attach itself to him so profoundly that he could live forever. The neshama is a little bit distant, and it allows his guf to do what regular gufim do, and to die. And this brings out what we mentioned so many times over the last year, these two rayas, let's call it, to this yisoid, that when a person becomes more gashmi, his ruchnius leaves him. It brings it out with tremendous clarity. We said, the pasuk says, we mentioned this recently, the pasuk says, Afar ata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam when he did the chait, Afar ata, you are dust, dirt, v'yal afar tashav, and you will return to the dirt. So we said that the Rechayim is Ma'ir. Why does Hashem have to tell Adam that he's Afar? Adam knows that he's made out of Afar. I mean, Adam didn't know what he was made out of. And if he didn't know what he was made out of, why was it so important to tell him? Rather, the pshat, what's the pshat? The pshat is now Adam became more gashmi. Because he did a chait. He was merachik himself from Hashem. He became more gashmi. And if you become more gashmi, that chases your neshama away. And if it chases your neshama away, then the shidduch between the guf and the neshama is not so strong anymore. And if the shidduch is not so strong anymore, your guf is going to die. I think this angle brings out the geshmak of that pasuk even clearer. Afar ata, b'yal afar tashuv. Previously, where you weren't afar, your neshama was profoundly attached to your guf. So you didn't have the al afar tashuv. Even though it was afar ata. It was always true that afar ata. Even though it was afar ata, but your neshama was so much a part of you that it wasn't al afar tashuv. But now that you did a chait, so now you became more afriyistik, you became more gashmiyistik, more afar. Offer dick. You chased your neshama away. Offer ata, be al offer tashuv. Similarly, we said on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about the Dor HaMava Lo Yadun Ruchi Ba'Adam, my Ruach will not stay with Adam, B'Shagam Hu Basar, because he became too much Bisari, the Ramban says. He became too physical, he became too Gashmi. And someone becomes too Gashmi, so Lo Yadun Ruchi. And Mimele is a Saif to Adam. Now, along with Adam, the Rishayim teach us, along with Adam losing his tremendous madrega, v'shas t'chait, the whole physical world lost its madrega. We mentioned during the week, the Ramban, next week's parasha, the Ramban says, v'hishbati chaya rom en ha'aretz, that I'll get rid of the wild animals. The Ramban says that it's not that I'm going to get rid of wild animals, I'm going to get the wild out of the animals. And the Ramban says that before Adam did his chait, animals weren't tariff, we didn't have chayas tarifas. He didn't have angry wild animals that were dangerous before the chait. The chait of Adam affected the whole Gashmiistika world. It didn't affect Ruchnius, but it affected the whole Gashmiistika world. It made it more afar ata. It made it more Gashmi. And that's what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. The Adama, which refers to the ground, but it could be that it's merames to the whole Gashmiistika world, is Arura, like the animals, Lamasha, like the Ramban says, Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. Because of you, the whole Adama, the whole Elam HaZeh got a shtickle klala. Klala means that it's not so connected to Hashem. Not so connected to Hashem means it's more Gashmi, it's less Ruchni, has less bracha. That's Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis, when somebody dies, it's ma'ayr, the tremendous lack of chiyus, the tremendous potential that was lost over here. And Adam should have been a bria that could live forever. And when Adam dies, there's a void, a tremendous lack of potential, a lack of ability, a lack of neshama. And that causes Tumah. That chisaron, that lack, that testimony of a chait, that's where Tumas Meis comes from. All Tumas come from there. We're talking about Tumas Meis. A few weeks ago we talked about Tumas Leida with the same idea. Now we're talking about Tumas Meis. So that's Tumas Meis. So Tumas Meis, we have to say in one sentence what Tumas Meis is. Tumas Meis is a Tumah that comes from Afar Atavil Afar Toshev, and the fact that Adam became so Afardik that his neshama couldn't reside within him anymore. That's what Tumas Meis is.
Why do you Tumas Shevet then?
What's Okay. That was true until Matan Torah. Adam lost his madrega, he's a bar misa, he lives a few years, and then he dies. Came Klal Yisrael, came out of Mitzrayim, and they worked for 49 days, going up madrega after madrega, and they came to Har Sinai, and they stood by Har Sinai, and the Gemara in Shabbos says, may it to us, that when they stood by Har Sinai, Pasko Zuhamasa, the Zuhama, the Shmutz, the dirt, the Afar, that was in Adam, that caused that he should be a bar misa, that the chait of Adam Rishon affected him, went away. And Klal Yisrael stood by Har Sinai, the zuama that happened to Adam because of this chait vanished. And Klal Yisrael, had they not done the eagle, would have lived forever. Taka Yidin would have lived forever. And they would have been nichnas miyad into Asad Lavi. But they did the eagle. The eagle is like a second cycle. Once again, Adam did a chait. The Adam of before the chait now once again did a chait. The eagle is similar to Adam eating from the Eitz Hadas, Rav Dessler says, and others. And now that they did a chait, now they're again b'nei misa, just like what happened to Adam. Just like Adam, after he did his chait, now he's worthy to die. So do Klal Yisrael after they did the chait to eagle. Now they're worthy. They're ruyim lamas. But that is not complete. It's not the end of the story. Because even though the Gzeiras Misa came back on every single Yachid in Klal Yisrael, that now Yidden die, There's such a thing as Misa in Klal Yisrael. But it's still true, what we mentioned a number of times in the last few weeks, that Klal Yisrael is called Adam. The pasuk says in Yechezkel, Adam Atem, and the Gemara in Yivam is Dashen, Atem Kruyim Adam, that Klal Yisrael specifically is Nisyaches, is related to Adam Arishan. In what way are we dying to Adam Arishan? We're dying with the same thing like all the other Goyim. Just like all Goyim die, we also die. So there's two answers to this question. There's a Prado Klal. We'll start with the Klal. The Klal is that every nation in the world has Misa on its Yechidim. It also has Misa on its Klal, L'mashal. Malchus Yavan does not exist anymore. Malchus Raimi does not exist anymore. Mitzrayim of old does not exist anymore. And those are the ones that we know about. There's many, many, many other Malchiyos and Amim that they're shaykh that the whole Ummah should be destroyed. Whole Ummahs could be destroyed. Klal Yisrael as a whole cannot be destroyed. There's a Klal that the Tzibur loy meis. The Tzibur is not meis. The Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, we're all private citizens, but we're also all part of the big living organism called Klal Yisrael. And that tremendous kaima called Klal Yisrael is not shaykh to Misa. And in that sense, we retain the ma'ala of Adam Rishon before the Chet. That just like Adam Rishon before the Chet was not shaykh to Misa, so too Gan's Klal Yisrael as a whole is not shaykh to Misa. The Gemara says that if you have a chatas of the Tzibur, and all the members of the Tzibur who had to bring it died, and now there's new members of the Tzibur, you still bring the chatas. Even though you're not allowed to bring a carbon whose owner's died, but the Hatzibur loy meis. The Tzibur doesn't die. The concept of the Tzibur. So we're all part of one Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, one chain from Mount Torah until Yemaisa Mashiach, and we're all part of that live Tzibur. That's what got me the Klal. Lagabi the Prat, Lagabi each Yachid, we also have a Madrega of Adam Arishan. And that is that even though every single Yid dies, but every single Yid also comes back to life. Every single Yid is also Shayach V'Nam Onata L'Hachiyayis Mesim. Every Yid also has Tchiyas HaMesim. So in essence, we don't really die. We temporarily go to sleep. But we don't really die. A guy dies, it's permanent death. When a Yid dies, he's not dead. He's sleeping. He's in a very deep sleep. He's sleeping. The Ne'am Onat Al Achiyos Mesim. Every Yachid in Klal Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik Olam Haba, every Yachid in Klal Yisrael has a Shaychus to Chayim Nitzchim, the everlasting life. In other words, what does that mean? Chazal tell us that there's a part of the body, there's a bone in the body, that no matter how much a person's body could be destroyed, no matter how much a body decomposes or gets destroyed, there's a part of a body that never, ever, ever decomposes and never gets destroyed, and it's from that bone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuilds the guf by Tchiyas HaMesim. What that means is that even on the guf of a Yid, our neshamas do affect us profoundly. If they don't affect us so much that our whole guf exists forever, but they affect our neshama, affects us enough that there's an aspect of our guf that survives forever. So in that sense, we're very different than a guy. A guy's guf is not affected at all. He could completely be destroyed. He has no place to start from for Tchiyas HaMesim. Masha'enkin, the guf of a Yid, even though he's not backed fully to the Madrega of Adam Arishan, that the neshama affects him so much, his guf so much, that the whole guf could function forever. But there is a nekuda, there is a part of the guf that's so impressed, that's so affected by the neshama, that it's chai lanetzach. And from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is baina. From there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is baina. The loose bone says, from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is baina, a new guf.
What about the people that don't merit Tchiyas HaMesim?
Eventually, after we reach our tikkun, after we're machaper on all our averus, after Mashiach comes, eventually we'll reach a point but will be completely back to the Madrega of Adam Rishon, where they won't be Misa anymore at all, and where we'll be, where our neshamas will be reside so profoundly and so securely in our guf that our guf won't be shaykh to Misa. Okay. I want to make a fascinating sushta. The pasuk says in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael, "Va'asuli mikdash." Klal Yisrael should make me a mikdash. That's the Mishkan. "V'shachanti b'soicham," and I will dwell within them. In other words, we should make a Mishkan, and in that Mishkan will be a Hashuras HaShchina, and in that way HaKadosh Baruch will be dwelling in Klal Yisrael. So the Medayik, the Mefarshim are Medayik, that the Pasuk is wrong, is grammatically wrong. For Asuli Mikdash, they should make me a Mikdash, is one Mikdash. How many Mikdashes are there? Is one Mikdash. So it should say, V'shachanti b'saycha, yu b'saycha, and I will dwell within it, in the one Mikdash. But it doesn't say that. It says they should make me a mikdash, v'shachanti b'soicham, and I will dwell within them. So how do we resolve that stira? There's different ma'alachim that all are based on the same yisoid. I'm going to say it with one ma'alach now. Chazal say, and the Sfarim bring, that if not for the Cheto Ego, there would have been no need for a Mishkan. If not for the Cheto Ego, the Gufim of Klal Yisrael would have been at such a high Madrega, like we explained before. It was Paska Zu Hamasam. The Gufim of Klal Yisrael would have been so halig that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been able to dwell in the Gufim of Klal Yisrael. He wouldn't have needed the medium of a mikdash, of a mishkan. He wouldn't need that medium. Directly, the Shekhinah would have been able to directly rest on Yidden. So now that we have a Beis HaMikdash, what's the purpose of this Beis HaMikdash? The purpose of this Beis HaMikdash is to do the Avodah and to contain the Shekhinah that really should have been contained within our Gufim. A dogma to that is in Parashat Shemini you find that the first half of Parashat Shemini is about the Binyan HaMishkan, and the second half of Parashat Shemini is about what the human body is allowed to consume, is about what the human is allowed to eat. You see this kesher between the Binyan HaMishkan and between the Shmira of the Guf of an Adam. So the Avodah, let's just say clear, the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is the Avodah of Hashuras HaShchinah, of serving the Rabbanei Shalom, that should have been, if not for the Chet, in the Guf of every single Yid. So that means the Avodah that we're doing in the Beis HaMikdash is the Avodah that through that Avodah, eventually, step by step, that's what's going to lead us to being able to restore that Madrega to our Gufim. Since the Beis HaMikdash is the place where the Shechina rests, when it should have rested in the Gufim of people, Memela, I'm not going to go into exactly the Pratim of the Avodah now, but Memela, the Beis HaMikdash is the place that we do the Avodah that will bring us back to that Madrega. If somebody tells you, because you made a mistake, you were supposed to have that Shoras HaShechina on you, and because you made a mistake, it's going to be over here, so then my Avodah over here is going to try to be working towards bringing it back to me. That's going to be my Avodah. And that's the Avodah of the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah of the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash is the Avodah of restoring Adam to his Maila HaKeduma. So that we can bring that Hashuras HaShchinah back into the Gufim. And all that is Merubas in the Pasuk. The Asuli Mikdash. Let them make me a Beis HaMikdash. And ultimately, through the Avodah of a Beis HaMikdash, year after year, carbon after carbon, mincha after mincha, k'tayres after k'tayres, through year after year of Asuli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'saycham, eventually it's going to bring it to a madrega that I'll be able to be mashar my shechina in them, that I won't need the Mikdash anymore. The Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'saycham, I won't need it anymore. Kohanim are the ones doing the avodah in this Beis Hamikdash. So that means that the whole focus of Kohanim is the restoration of the neshama back into the guf of an Adam, the way it's supposed to be. Right? The whole avodah of the Beis Hamikdash is to restore the Shekhinah back into the guf of Yidden. And the Kohanim are the ones working in the Beis Hamikdash. So the avodah of Kohanim is to focus, the focus of the Kohanim is that the neshama and the ability of Mimela for Asharas HaShchina should become again profoundly embedded into the guf of an Adam. So Mimela, we have Sukkim in the Torah that say a Kohen shouldn't be Metame Lameis, because it's a stira. That's what we explain. The whole Indian of Tumas Meis is the lack of connection of the neshama to the guf. That the neshama is not profoundly a part of the guf. It's not absorbed properly by the guf. And the whole avodah of Kohanim, the whole avodah of the is to bring about a v'shachanti b'saicham, that the Hashoras HaShchina, that the neshama should be able to be part of the guf of Adam. So Mimela Kohanim can't be metame to a mace. However, we explained that this, that right now, when you have a Beis HaMikdash, this Mancha Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, or the time of the Mishkan, this, that, there's such a mile of not being metami to a mace, this, that, there's such a thing that Klal Yisrael shayach to the Madrega of Adam Rishon, this, that, there's such a concept, that's true on the Klal of Klal Yisrael. And it's true on the Prat to an extent, that we have Tchiyas HaMeisim. But L'maisa, there is Misa. There is Misa by Klal Yisrael. And there is Tumas Meis by Klal Yisrael. There's a dual thing going on at the same time. On one hand, we're working step by step towards the Madrega where the Neshama becomes permanently part of us, because we have that potential, because we have part of it already. And on the second hand, we still have such a thing called Tumas Meis. We still have the effects of that Chet, of the Chet of Egel and the Chet of Adam Arisha. The Kohen himself is shayach to Misa. Kohanim die. The same Kohen, it's not allowed to be metami to a mace, but he himself dies. Because as a prat, as a private citizen, he is shayach to Misa. The members of a person's family are kroivim machmas the guf, not machmas the neshama. For example, it says, v'shinantam levonecha, you should teach your sons. Zakt Rashi, elu ha-talmidim. So that means that Talmidim are also considered sons. A person can have biological sons, and a person has Ruchniyazdika sons. What's the difference between someone's biological father and his Ruchniyazdika father? That one is a Gashmiyazdika connection, and one is a Ruchniyazdika connection. Members of our family, father, mother, brother, sister, members of our family, the connection is a physical connection. That's the connection. It's the kurva that has to do with the guf. Even the she'era that's married by the wife is because of Ayu Labasar Echad, Rashi says. It's because of the guf. The Kayan, even though he's supposed to not be metame, but when he dies, this Tumas Misa, the Kayan himself dies, this Tumas Misa. Similarly, when the extended parts of his guf, because all the members of a family, to a certain sense, they're connected physically. When the extended members of his guf die, then he is exposed to Tumas Misa. As much as the Torah tells him not to expose himself to Tumas Meis, to the Klal of Klal Yisrael, but by him personally, when in his guf, meaning his mishpacha, that's connected through basar, through a physical korva, when there's a misa, he is supposed to be expose himself to that tumah. That tumah is shayach to him. That's a kayin. And now we understand what we asked the fourth question, the Hakadama over here. Ki imla she'erai ha'karoi ve'elov. That's the Hakadama. She'er is basar. She'er means flesh. That's what the word she'er means. The book I put over here, the Ramban. Look at that Ramban. Shemayis chof alef tes. Ramban brings it. But it's in a few places. There's a Rashi somewhere, I think in Yesh Neichel, something it says clearly, and I couldn't find it now. But she'er means basar. You see from the Rashi that says, she'erai zu ishle, dechsiv ha'yul basar echad. She'er means basar. That's the Hakdama. Don't be metame to Kayanim. Don't be the metame to people. Because you're shayach to getting Adam back to his previous Milo where there's no Misa. But what's negaya to your flesh, to your guf, ki'im l'she'eiroi. What's negaya to your guf, la'aviv, l'ima, and so on, that you should be metame. Here? Zevi? So that's the kayan.
But the guy
they're goofing,
they're also involved in the same
way of
being
mistaken. Yeah, that's true. But Levi says they are going to die. So to a certain extent, it didn't penetrate yet. And to that extent, it affects also the immediate family. Kayin Gadol is different. The Kayin Gadol also dies. But the Kohen Gadol is a different madrega. We find that the Kohen Gadol, all Kohanim are involved in bringing Klal Yisrael towards that ultimate tikkun, where the guf is going to be kulay kadosh, it's going to be like a neshama, the neshama is going to be firmly embedded in the guf. All Kohanim, that's the avodah of Kohanim, and that's why Kohanim can be metami to a mace. But the Kohen Gadol is even closer to the matzah where Adam will be on a completely different madrega. There's various rayas to this. I'm just going to say one thing now, is that the Kohen Gadol from all human beings in the world, the Kohen Gadol is the only one who can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does that mean? That means that it says that the Kohen Gadol should go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and at the same time the Psukim say Kol Adam, at that time Kol Adam Lo'iyah Ba'ayil Mayid, there shouldn't be any Adam in the Ayil Mayid. And the Chazal asked, "V'chi Kohen Gadol lav Adam?" The Kohen Gadol is there. What do you mean? You should say except for the Kohen Gadol. But it says, "Kol Adam Ma'iyah." Kol the rabbis. Kol Adam Ma'iyah ba'Oyel Ma'id. There shouldn't be any Adam in the Oyel Ma'id. What about the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, the Chazal say that at the time that the Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not an Adam. What does that mean? He's not an Adam. It means that there's no Gashmias left to him anymore. His guf becomes completely kodesh. So we see here a simen to a madrega by the Kohen Gadol that other Kohanim even don't have. And that is that it penetrates even deeper. It penetrates even deeper. The Kohen Gadol also dies. But we see by the Kohen Gadol that it penetrates deeper. That he could become on a madrega one day a year, that he's lav adam. What? Yeah, that's right.
But on Yom Kippur, so when the Kohen went Lufnei Lufnim, so Klal Yisrael would be watching to see if he came out. And when he came out, they didn't know there'd be Zechut Kapar. Mm-hmm. So how's it possible that the Kohen Shaykh to Misa when he goes Lufnei Lufnim?
Yeah, it was okay, they weren't on the Madrega, that they were right to be Kohen Gadol.
Well, once they went Lufnei Lufnim, they're not together.
It seems...
No, the fact that they
weren't
together.
Memela of the Kohen Gadol, the Torah limits. That the Kohen Gadol, even to his family, shouldn't be metame. The Kohen Gadol has no shaykhus to Tumas Meis at all. The Kohen Hedid a little bit has shaykhus to Tumas Meis. But the Kohen Gadol, the person who's shaykh to be not called an Adam, has such shaykhus to the madrega of Adam Kaidem Achet. He has such shaykhus to the madrega of what's going to be lost in Lavai. So for him, there's never a situation where the Kohen Gadol should be metame with Meis. I think for a Meis Mitzvah he's metame, but in the regular Seder Achayim. Okay, so that's the difference between a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol. So we answered 2, 3, and 4. Now we have to answer 1. So we understand the Indian that Kohanim should not be metame to a mace. We understand the difference between a Kohen Hedit and a Kohen Gadol. And we understand why the Hakdama of the parasha is a Lashon of She'er. The Das Kenan himself answers the kasha. We asked Mr. Mordechai, we asked why it says by the Kohen Hedit, it says le'ima yu le'aviv, he should be metame. By the Kohen Gadol it says he shouldn't be metame, le'aviv le'ima, it switches it around. So the Das Kenan, he says like this. First of all, it's not switched around. Because by the Kohen Hedit, it's saying that you should be metame. You should be metame to your mother, and you should be metame to your father. By the Kohen Gadol, it's saying you should not be metame. So by the Kohen Hedyot, in other words, like this, by the Kohen Hedyot, it's saying you should be metame to your mother. Not only you should be metame to your mother, you should even be metame to your father. Right? So that means that it's being metame to the father is a bigger chiddush than being metame to the mother. Not only l'imo, but even l'aviv. So when you switch it around, you're saying don't be metame. So don't be metame to, who do you start with? Don't be metame to your father. Not only that, don't be metame to your mother. It's not switched around. It's just when you're saying do, so then you say that, or when you're saying don't, you say that. That's what the Das Kainim says. Why? Why is the father less pasha than the mother? So after Das Kainim Yibali Ataisvus, because a mother is a vaday. A mother is a vaday. Everyone knows. Everyone. And when a woman gives birth, you know who the mother and the child is. This Kain knows for sure who his mother is. For sure. It's a vaday. Loimi boy le'imai shehi vaday. A father is not vaday. You think, you don't know.
Is it
you don't know who is.
Yeah, he knows he's a kain.
Hang on a second. We'll get there. We'll get there. Let's first get the teretz. The father is nishpashet. You don't know for sure who the father is. We have a chazaka. We have a chazaka that the person who says he's your father is your father. We don't know for sure. But the mother, we know for sure. So therefore, when you're telling the Kohen Edit to be metame, we say, be metame to your mother. Not only to your mother, which is for sure, but even to your father, who's just a chazakah. And when we're telling the Kohen Edit that he should not be metame, not only should you not be metame to your father, who's a chazakah, but even to your mother, who's a vada, you shouldn't be metame. As I stated in that case, is that clear, what I say? So the kasha is that the Ilam is asking, and I heard this from... I heard this b'shem, and then I heard it spoke to him about it many times since then from Rabbi Kalish a couple of years ago, you could ask him about this, he loves this kasha. A couple of years ago, he promised his dining room table to someone who could give him a teretz. He promised his dining room table to someone who could give him a teretz.
The dining room table is still there.
I don't know why I didn't get it yet. I'm about to tell you a teretz. But it's Alpi Derech HaMachshava. But anyhow. Anyhow. The kasha is like this. It's a gevaldige kasha. Gevaldige kasha. The kasha is, what do you mean the father is less for sure? By what for sure you a kayin? Because your father's a kayin. So be mashach. If he's your father, so it's the same thing like your mother. Elamai is the son, he's not your father. So anyway, you could be metame to him because you're not a kohen. That's the kasha. Shmaka kasha. What does the Das Kainim mean? It's like, we're off Senegra. What?
You come from another kohen.
Mecha Tesi, though. We don't assume such a thing. We have it right.
So you came down from a city of Kohanim, no?
Alright, that's already in Okinta. The Pasuk's talking about. Okay, but all these turrets, and you could take up with them. So I came up with the mahalach when I heard the kasha, and a few weeks later was a shluis maimer in Pachad Yitzchak, and I have a hookup usually to the maimer, and he didn't quote this Das Kainim, but he said exactly the same mahalach. The kasha is clear? It's a good kasha? Okay, I forgot to get the marals. Evie, can you get, you know what my maral is? It's the Nesiva Zoylam Aleph. I'm going to skip that to go to the Baal Turim in the meantime. There's a Baal Turim in the beginning of Bereshis that I wouldn't mention at home. Baal Turim is like this. Zachar u'nekeva bara oisan. Hashem created Adam. Zachar u'nekeva. Male and female, he created them. Zach to Baal Turim. You ready? Mir Simcha, you ready?
Yep.
Zachar, don't ask. This is not allowed to say at home. Zakhar Balatur. Zakhar Bigamatria Bracha. Unekeva Bigamatria Klala. They're stating Balatur. Ooh. What does that mean? What does that mean? Wow, that's one issue. There's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Tes Amud Aleph where Abba Ben Yamin says that he was always makbid, he was mitzta'er, that his bed should be bein safa in ledarin. Rashi says a pshat, and the Maral shlugs up the pshat, but he's always makbid that his bed should be between north and south. So the Maral learns a different pshat than Rashi. Rashi learns because of the covet of the Shekhinah, because the Shekhinah is between east and west. So because the covet of the Shekhinah, your bed should be between north and south. The Maral learns it was because they wanted to be Mailud Zacharim. They wanted to have male children. V'yesh lecha lodas, and you should know. Paragimel in the Sivu Avoida. V'yesh lecha lodas, and you should know. Ki mikayach tzafain, that from the north, kayach hazcharim, is the kayach of males, of zacharim. Ki nikra tzafon, tzafon, the north is called north, tzafon, because of tzafon, because it's hidden. Like tzafon, we hide the avikaimen. It's called tzafon, mishum she'ein ha-shemesh nimtza sham, because the sun, in the north pole, there's no sun. Ulefiga ha-bracha hi mikayach tzafon, and therefore bracha comes from tzafon, as it says, ha-raitz al-ha-shar yatspin, ein bracha elo b'davra asami min ha-ayin, so since bracha comes some in our eye, it sounds like a little bit like sounds like a little bit gedarshit. Since bracha is only on something that you can't see, and zachar is gematria bracha, so in order to have a zachar, you put your bed facing the north. The ain suffik ki hazachar hu bracha. What does that mean? How do we understand this, Mara? The pshat is like this. The Gemara says that there's no behema. There's no such a thing. We never try to figure out who the father of a behema is. Not nagev any halachas. There's no yichus of a behema to its father, only to its mother. And the same thing is true. The Gemara says in Yevamos, I think it comes out from the El Gemara and Asar Yichson also. Same thing is true about a guy. The yichus of a guy is from his mother, not from his father. A guy's yichus comes from his mother. A yid's yichus comes from his father. A kayin is a kayin because of his father. A yid is in a certain shevet because of his father. A guy's yichus, a guy is misyaches to his mother. Why is that? The pshat is like this. And with this, we're going to have an amazing pshat on the das gain and based on everything we said tonight. When a person is born, so he knows who his mother is. His mother is the one who gave birth to him. He knows who his mother is. His father is just Mikaya Chazaka. He's a Chazak, he's Mochzak, but his father's participation in his birth is not seen, it's not apparent, and it's not, his whole development was without his father. Just at the very, very early stages of his development. But after that, it's without his father. So that means the mother is the one who it's clear that this is the mother. The father, it's more mufshad, it's less clear. a mashal to the emuna of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also was part of our creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also part of our creation. Part of us is a chelek of the kamimal. It's also not clear. We have a neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a neshama into us. It's also not clear. The mashal that we have in the gashmiistic world of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also part of our bria is the part that our father has in our bria. Just like the mother, it's clear she gave birth to him, but the father, it's like almost like an emuna, it's a chazaka that the father had a hishtatfus over here. So too, the father and mother, they gave the gashmiistic parts of the person, and there's an emuna, there's an understanding that the Kadosh Baruch Hu also had a chelek in the bria of other. Those people whose neshama plays a central and important role in their identity, they have yichus to their father. But those nevraim who don't have a neshama, or whatever ruach they have, does not play a central role. They don't have yichus to the father. So a yid who has a nishmas chayim that we said, like we said until now, who that his neshama is mamish part of him, mamish part of his being, he was makabel a neshama, he has yichus through his father, and through that he has an understanding of how much the Rabbanu Shalom's vayibach v'av of nishmas chayim is part of him. But a guy, and certainly a behema, who don't have a nishmas chayim, who don't have a neshama blown in from the Rabbanu Shalom. The neshama of a guy, it says, comes from milamata, whatever that means. Don't have a neshama that's blown in milamayla from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they don't have a yichus to the Father. To them, it's not as necessary to them, and it's not as clear by them, the mashal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has a physical part of him and a ruchniyistika part of him. The physical part of him is clear. The ruchniyistika part of him, that it comes from the Rebbe Shalom, that's less clear. Right? A person has emuna that their Kadosh Baruch Hu was vayibach v'av. Did you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu blowing your neshama in? Mm-hmm. Did you ever meet your neshama?
The gashmiyus is clear that it's from Hashem?
No. There's the gashmiyistika though, that comes from the parents. And the neshama, the chiyus of a person, and the kesher of a person to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not as clear. So too, within the gashmias of a person, there's part of him that's a mashal to the gashmias, that's clear, that you see the gashmias. And there's part of even the gashmias of a person that's more mufshir, it's more abstract. And that's a mashal to his neshama. Just like a person's neshama, it's more abstract, the emuna and the hakara that it comes from the Rabbanu Shalom, so too, even in the guf of a person, there's a part of him, there's a half of his guf, it's also not so clear. We know it's a chazaka, we know who the father is, but it's not something that's readily apparent, that's in front of your eyes, that you can see with your physical eyes. So it could be that this is one of the reasons that it says in many, many Sfarim that even though both a male and a female, both a Zachar and a Nekeva, both an Av and an Aim have a Guf and a Neshama, but the Av, but the in terms of the relationship between them, just like there's a Shamayim and an Aretz, just like there's a Neshama and a Guf, so too there's an Ish v'Isha. The Ish has Shaychas to the Neshama, to the Ruchnias, and the Isha has Shaychas to the Guf and to Gashmias. In relation, yachasi, to the husband, the wife is more gashmi. And yachasi to the wife, the husband is more ruchni. That's the most, a person can have a ruchni, is like a wife and be very gashmi. But that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the mahus of an Adam and the of a Zachar and the mahus of a Nekeva, that a Nekeva is more shaychas to gashmias, and a Zachar is more shaychas to ruchnias. I'm not saying that this is the whole picture, but one manifestation of that is that the hishtatfus of a Zachar in Leida is the mashal to the ruchnias that comes into a person, and the hishtatfus of the Nekeva to the Leida is a mashal to the gashmias of a person. amazing thing you find. Adam did a chait and Chava did a chait by the Eitz Hadas. Chava got cursed, her guf got cursed, and Adam didn't get cursed. He got a klala because the earth got cursed and he has to work the earth. But Adam himself didn't get a klala. Chava got a klala and Adam didn't. And the reason for that, according to what we're saying, is because Chava has, what did we say? This is what we will mock them at Aruro, Adam Ba'avurecha. The chet of Adam caused a tremendous yurida in the gashmias of the veld, in the Olam Hazeh of the veld. So when you have an ish v'isha, which part represents the gashmias of the veld? The isha. So the klola manifests itself in the isha. The isha is shaychas to the, relative to the isha, the isha represents more of a ruchni, more of the tzad haruchni. So his klola didn't directly hit him; it hit him indirectly. Arur ha'adam ba'avurecha. So that's the pshan in the Balaturim, that in Isha, that Unakeva is gematria klala, and Zohar is gematria bracha. It doesn't mean that there's be'etzim something wrong with Nekevas, and it doesn't mean there's be'etzim something wonderful about Zoharim. It just means that a Nekeva has a klala because she's representative of the gashmias of the veld. And just like the Adama was Arura Adama Ba'avurecha, so to the Isha herself has klala in her because of the chait of Adam. And the Zachar, which represents the abstract involvement of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world, over there we say bracha, because bracha is always there when there's a connection to Ruchnias. So since the Isha is more related to Gashmias, this is not a psak about the personalities of men and women. This is not a description of the madregas. There's nothing to do with that. It's different roles. The role of the isha is the chelik of gashmias. The role of the ish is the chelik of ruchnias. So on the chelik of gashmias, it's shaykh to say klalo, like arura ha'adam ba'avurecha. On the chelik of ruchnias, there's no direct klalo, rather bracha. It becomes a little bit clearer, the morale. It's impossible for us to say that we understand the morale fully, but it becomes a little bit clearer. That if somebody wants to be Meilid Zachar, he should point his bed towards the north. Because the north, that's where the Shemesh doesn't shine. That's where it's hidden. And that is Shaychus to Zacharim. According to what we're saying, the whole bracha that a Zachar has comes from the fact that the way that a Zachar is involved in the Kiyum Ha'ilam is in a way that's not visible. And that's a mashal to the fact that there's Ruchnius in the world. The invisibility of the ish in the leida of a child is a mashal to the Rabbi Shalom's involvement in the leida of a child. So that's why the fact that a zachar has shaychus to what's hidden, to tzafon, to being hidden, that has shaychus to bracha. Because when we say that a zachar has shaychus to what's hidden, we're saying that a zachar has shaychus to that which represents the Rabbanu Shel Olam, who's hidden. What's clear and blatant and pashut in the Gashmiyistic world, that's not the mashal to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. What's samui min ha'ayin, what's tzafon, that's what's mashal to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So since the Zachar, his ishtatzvus in the Kiyum, his participation in the Kiyum Ha'olam, in creating the world, is in a hidden way, that's representative of Ruchnius, because the involvement of Ruchnius in this world is in a hidden way. So Mamela, if you point your bed towards the part of the world that's hidden, it has an effect of being Mamela Zachar. Okay, this is a little bit hard. But let me just sum up the Yisai that comes out from this so we can go back to our Parsha. The site is like this. When we say that in that a that the that someone knows for sure who his mother is, but his father is not Vadai, we don't mean that we're really misupik who the father is. We have a chazaka and halacha that this is the father. As we said, we have this mimanashach, it doesn't work. When we say the mother is a Vadai, the point is that the connection to a person's connection to his mother is more on a Gashmi Yizdika level, is on a more physical Pashut level than his connection to his father. His connection to his father is in a more abstract level. He needs to have seichel to understand that his father is his father. But the guf is made that his mother is his mother. That's vadai. This is, you have to have a chazaka. You need a psak from the Torah that this is the father. And what that means is that the father represents the fact that your Rabbeinu Shlom is also vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. So now, Imke, is that this? You say it is clear? Josh, you have it? Still don't have it. What? Listen to me. We'll talk it over afterwards. Is that me here? Nashi? Okay, so listen to how beautiful this Das Ganim is in light of what we said tonight. Why is a Kayan Mitame to a mace? Because She'eroi, because it's his flesh, it's his basar, it's his gashmias. Which relationship is more She'eroi, the relationship to the mother or the relationship to the father? Josh?
The mother.
That's the one that's vadai, that's the one that's not v'hafshata at all. So that's what the pasuk says like this. When I'm telling the Kohen Hedya to be metame, I say, not only you should be metame to your mother, who's mamash She'eroi, it's mamash basar. It's clear in the physical world that this is your mother, but even your father who represents the Ruchnius, the Gitzad, even to him you should be metamic. That's the Chiddush. And by the Kohen Gadol, the opposite way. Not only should you not be metamic yourself to your father, who's more abstract, who's more of a Ruchnius, the Kekesher, it's more of a Hashat, the father's status in later, is not that all the Eivarim are formed inside of him and he gives birth to a child. It's more about, more abstract. Not only should you be metame to him, but you should even not only. I'm sorry. By the kohen gadol. Not only should you not be metame to your father, who is more abstract, but even to your mother, who is mamish besorei. Even to her, you shouldn't be metame. Because again, the whole point of the Tumah, the Pasuk is Maktin. The whole point of Tumah's Mesa, just like you're going to die, we tell the Kayan, just like the Kayan is Shayach the Mesa, so too, whatever is like an extension of his guf, he has to be Metame too. A mother is more of an extension of one's guf than the father. Because the father has a little bit more Shayach, a little bit. And the Pasuk Paskins in the end, Le'aviv, Le'imayula of it. But the father is a little bit more Shayach to Ruchnias. That's what we say. Not only should you be metame to the mother, who's mamish like extension of your guf. It's part, it's vadai, it's clear. But even to the father, that's more bahashata. He's not as physically involved in the chituch of Evarim, and it's not as clear his involvement in the Leda. Rather, it's more mufshat. Even to him, he should be metame, and that's. That's what the Das Ganim means. That's the Pshat and switching around the words. Because of what the Pasuk says, because the Pasuk says that the reason why the Kohen should be Metame is Ki Im L'She'eroi, because it's Besorei. The Neshama is not that much embedded that we got rid of Tumas Meis. There's still flesh here, there's still B'Shagam U'Basar, there's still Ofarat over here. So who, of the father and mother, who is more She'eroi? Who's more representative of the physical guf of a person, and who's more representative of the neshama of a person? Well, the father's involvement in my leida is a mashal to the Rabbi Shalom's involvement. Is a mashal to vayipach v'ap of nishmas chayim. That's a little bit less physical than the mother's involvement in the leida, which is actually forming the physical body. So l'chein, that's why the order is you should be metame to your mother, not only that, even to your father. And you shouldn't be metame to your father, not only that, you shouldn't even be metame to your mother. It's a little clearer, Josh? But not a question of Mimanashach. Of course we know it's the Father. It's not the point. The point is that the fact that we only know that it's the Father through a chazaka, that teaches me that the Father's involvement is not as blatant and as physical as the mother's involvement. Of course we know it's the Father. The Mimanashach is right. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that the father, mother I know for sure, the Father I'm not sure about. I'm sure about the Father also. But the fact that I only know that he's a Father through a chazaka shows me what the essence of the Father is different than the essence of the mother. He doesn't mean that we're not sure who the Father is. He means that the identity of the Father, the title of the Father is an Einoi Vadai. And that makes it less She'eiroi. It's an amazing thing. An incredible and amazing thing that we have a Isra of Kehanati B'Mitami to the mace. The measure says Mefurish. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a whole mashal. The measure said that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want his palace to get dirty. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Kehanim who work in his palace to become Tamei Meis. But even when the Beis HaMikdash is not Kayim anymore, Kehanim are still not allowed to be Metamei to a Meis. Amazing thing. The Medrash brings out as a schar that Aaron, because of Aaron's yiras, Aaron's Medrash, a schar for Aaron was that his children are going to be also to be Metamei to a Meis. It's a schar. His children are going to be also to be Metamei to a Meis. Atzayf kol adayrus. So they ask, what do you mean? A lot of Yisurim that still stay. And Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha, that's also always. Grusha, Zaina, those dinim are also always. So Rav Tzadok answers that no, but those dinim, the reason a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha is not directly related to his avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tumah is directly related. Don't be Metami because you work in the Beis HaMikdash. Directly related to and there's no Beis HaMikdash, you still be telling Kohen not to be Metami. Why? Could be that Hashem, even in Golos, doesn't want us to lose this lesson. Hashem, even in Golos, and even when things are difficult, and even when Klal Yisrael is down, and even when we don't see the Gula in front of us, and we don't see the Hashraas Hashkan in front of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that there's still in Klal Yisrael such an idea of not being Shaykh to Tumas Meis, of being on the Madrega of Adam Rishon. So he keeps the Kohanim being shown with themselves from Tumas Meis, and we went to a Levaya this week, and Rabbi Kohn was standing outside. He's a Kohen, he can't go in. Oh, you didn't have Shaychas to keeping away from Tumas Meis. It could be that his service is necessary that it should last through Golas. Maybe Dafka in Golas. Just like a person's body could never be completely destroyed, the spirit of a Yid could never be completely destroyed, and the spirit of Klal Yisrael could never be completely destroyed. And no matter how long the Golos is, and no matter how difficult a person's Nisyonos are, and no matter how many times a person falls, just like his body can't be completely destroyed, his spirit can't be completely destroyed. Just like Tchias HaMeisim can be built out of one little bone, Tchias HaMeisim can be built out of one little, but Hashem, I still want to serve you even after all that. One little bone that's left could still build a person's whole Avodas Hashem. So it could be Dafka in Golos. Dafka when things are dark and difficult. Well, we don't live a dark and difficult life now. We're not being chased by Cossacks and the Nazis aren't hurting us at the concentration camps. But in other ways we have a very, very dark life. In terms of how our lifestyle has changed to reflect the Goyim, and in terms of how distant we are from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and how little we really have shaychus to the Talmud Torah of years ago. In that sense it's dark. And even in the middle of the Golos, you have to remember, no. Yidden have shaychas to the neshama being fully part of the guf. Yidden have shaychas to Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim means that no matter how long the Misa is, there are people who have been dead for thousands of years, and there's still hope, and it's still going to happen. Hashem is Neman, Hashem is trustworthy. That the end is going to be that they're going to be Mechaya Meisim. And even if we can't see, you would open up a kever, you wouldn't see any sign of life at all. But there's under the surface there, somewhere like by Yecheskel, where he came to the valley of Atzamos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you see any life here? And Yecheskel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only you know. Only you can see life here. I can't see life here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechayerem. That's a mashal for the whole Tchias HaMeisim. And even though after somebody is Nifter, you can't see any life at all, but his life didn't leave him. It's still that Nitzchias is part of him. And it could be dafka in Golos, or sometimes we wonder, ruchniyistik wise, if our life has left us, is there hope for Klal Yisrael? Could we ever make it back? It could be we need that mashal. No, there's always Tchias HaMeisim. There's always that neshama there's always that chelik of neshama that's embedded in the good, that changed the good forever. We'll stop here.